Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Well, tonight is the first night of Hanukkah. And so Kayla Schleviel, who's a practitioner and a rabbi, is going to light the Hanukkah candle and tell us about it.
Thank you. Let's see. You want me standing? Good. So the holiday of Hanukkah is, briefly, it's a holiday in celebration of religious freedom. And what happened back 167 years BCE. So they hadn't even started counting yet. That this fight for religious freedom happened, and upon winning that fight, they had to set up the temple, and there's what's called the eternal flame that goes forever. But there was, it took oil, and for that oil, they only found one cruse of oil. What is a cruse of oil? The amount that lasts for one night. And so the miracle of Hanukkah is that it lasted for 8 days. And that's what made it an 8-day holiday and made it a miracle. And here's the prayer that goes with it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam she'asa nisim lavoteinu bayamin ha'hem bazman hazeh, which means, blessed are you, eternal one, the infinite all there is, who rules all of time and space and brings us to this moment, and who worked miracles for our ancestors in ancient days at this time. And if you notice, you don't get to put it on your calendar in advance because it's not a day that happens by the sun's calendar that we use every day to know where we're going, that it's instead based on the darkest night of the year, which is the 25th day of the month of Kislev, which is the month of miracles. And it's time for me to light it. And so we only light one candle tonight, and next week we'll get to light all of them. Thank you.
So this is definitely the time of year when we enter into a sacred time. We're in a sacred place, we're in sacred company, and we're always in presence, the loving presence of the One Spirit. So taking that in, I'm going to do the opening prayer for you. So please join me in recognizing that that presence is here right now. That one Spirit that is us, that moves through us, And because that is one spirit that moves through all of us, we are all connected by that one intelligence. And that intelligence is the source of everything. All the gifts that we have in our world, our lives, our souls, our spirits, all of our ideas, all of our creations are outputs and outcomes of that one mind. What a joy to know that despite our differences and all the things and the conflicts that go on, that underneath that, in the spirit world, in the spiritual sense, we are all connected. We are all brothers and sisters. We are all one. And we just need to remember that. When the times get dark, we need to remember the light. And so I turn within and know that, and I claim that this ceremony, this service today, is holy. And people who come and hear, they'll hear what they need to hear. Whatever's going on, they'll hear what they need to hear. And they'll speak what they need to speak. And all are heard, all are loved, all are appreciated, and all here are celebrated. What a gift it is to have this community. I celebrate that. I thank God. And so it is.
So when I get dry skin, I put lotion on. And it absorbs into my skin, and it feels so good. And if I don't do it, my skin gets really crackly. And I was thinking about, what do we do when our souls get crackly? When our spirit gets crackly? When our lives get a little crusty? What kind of salve do we put on our hearts when we're in those deep, dark places and things are a little rough? I have three ideas. The first one is to choose curiosity. Over certainty. The second one is to practice sacred flexibility, and the third one is to tend your heart like a garden. Sometimes I feel like I know it all. Anybody else? And then something happens where I kind of, I don't know, the universe humbles me. Because I think I'm so right. I think I know what's right. I think I know what's going to happen. And then the universe proves me wrong. And what I've recognized to do over the years is to be curious about what's happening and notice what my attachments are. Am I attached to a certain outcome? Am I attached to this way of being? Am I attached to my old house? Yes. I'm just saying that because I met with a real estate agent yesterday, so this was our second meeting with a real estate agent, to sell our house in Linwood, which those of you who've been here, been to my house, it's a really nice house. And I loved it, and I thought, oh my God, this is my dream house. This is my dream house, but how can my dream house be in Linwood when my dream community is here in Bellingham? I gotta let it go. Because I was so certain when I moved to Seattle that that was my forever place. So I bought a house. And I, you know, Gina and I reached and we stretched ourselves to do this thing that was really uncomfortable. It's the first time I'll be selling a house. So this is all new for me. I'd love for you all to keep me and Gina in your prayers and to support me through this process. But I was so certain when I bought that house, this is going to be my forever home. Anybody ever said that? Yeah, okay, all right. This is going to be the last place I move to, because I have moved a lot in my life. I don't know about any of you, but man, every couple of years, it seems like I keep moving. And I really just want to put my roots down and just get my stable place and be. But sometimes the universe makes other plans while I'm busy living life, making my own plans. And I recognize and know that my attachment, my clinging to, my needing to have things a certain way is that crusty way of being. And instead, I start letting go and I start playing in the world of what if? What if there's a better house? What if we make some money on this house and I can put more money down at my next house? What if it's easy? What else is possible? How can it get any better than this? You will see me ask that question a lot. What else is possible? And how can it get any better than this? Because I have been so attached to things, I keep learning to be curious. Because the universe is for me. But sometimes I am limiting God, Goddess, Source, energy. I am telling it what I think is possible instead of opening myself to what it knows is possible for me. There's a story about a monk in Thailand. His name was Timu. And Timu, he knew he was more enlightened than all the rest of the monks. He meditated the longest. He did that rake thing in the gravel for hours and hours. I don't know what it's called. Do you know what it's called, the rake thing? I have no idea. But I have like a little mini version in Beverly's house where you have like a little tiny rake and you have little tiny rocks and you do the little... I don't know if you, some of you are like, what is she talking about? But it's like you rake the dirt. You make it look really pretty. And so Timu was doing all of the things longer than anybody else. He was praying harder. Have you ever tried to pray really hard? Praying harder, praying deeper, doing more. And he was just like, yeah. I'm the best monk ever. And then one day his master said, Timu, is this soup too hot for you? And before he even looked at his master, he said, yes, it's too hot. And his master was like, you haven't even tried the soup yet. So his master took a little sip of the soup and was like, oh, well, tastes pretty good to me. And Timu kind of awakened in that moment because the master said, you burnt your tongue before you even tried the soup. And how many of us do that? We just, oh, no, it's this way. Oh, it has to be this way. It's got to be that way. No, I know the answer. And we cut ourselves off from possibility. You know, I love this quote. I don't know who actually said this the first time. I heard it the first time from my senior minister many years ago. But if you argue for your limitations, you have them. If you argue for your limitations, you have them. You're right. You get to be limited because you want those limitations. But this, but that. And the universe says, okay, if that's what you want. I mean, I got all this over here, but you want that little thing? All right. Have you ever said, I'm not good at that? That's not who I am. People like me don't get to have that. I'm not creative. Some of you are like, oh crap, I've said some of those things. Is she talking to me? So what belief are you so certain in that you stopped questioning it? What if you reframed it? What if you said, instead of I'm not creative, you said, what if creativity looks differently for me? What small creative thing did I do this week? Or what if, instead of saying I'm terrible with money, I'm trying to see who's going, What financial decision have I made well? What would I need to learn about money to feel more confident? What if it has nothing to do with the money and more with me just not knowing or understanding? Or how about people never change? Has anybody ever said that one? Who's someone I know who has changed? What made that possible? Or have you ever said, it's too late for me? Who started something new later in life? Who's the cook? What's her name? Julia Childs! I think she was like in her 40s, 50s. She was in her 50s when she started. Do you remember the old lady in Titanic, at the very end, who was like the older person? That was her first thing that she had ever done. I think she got an Academy Award for it too. I can't remember. But what are you telling yourself? What are you saying? It's not possible. I can't do that. I'm not open to it. What if you were curious? The second thing, practice sacred flexibility. Okay, I'm going to get you to stand up if you can. If you're able to stand up, stand up. Now try and touch your toes. Okay, there might be a chair in the way. Okay, now you can sit down. Some are like me, I can't touch my toes. Some of you were just like, woo, I'm all there. Now, how many of you are more flexible than you were 5 years ago? Oh, yeah. It's possible. How many of you practiced your flexibility? Yes. Because you have to practice in order to get better at it. So I'm saying that as a metaphor, so you can practice not just your literal flexibility, like touching your toes, but in life, practice being flexible. There's a song I love, I forgot who sings it, but it's Be Like Water, My Friend. Move around the rocks. And I think about the principles of water, and water is so powerful. It can carve out valleys. But it's flexible. It's fluid. It moves around obstacles. Maybe you have an obstacle in your life. It's like, oh, how can I be flexible with that? How can I move around it or go above, below, side to side? Because water is a great model to take on in your life. Can I be flexible? Can I be fluid? As a matter of fact, trees, the strongest trees, if you take a tree and you grow it in a place like inside versus growing it outside, the tree inside doesn't get as deep and as powerful roots as the one outside. And if you put the one that was inside outside, it may not stand or last. Because all the wind and all the weather and all the difficulty caused the tree outside to move and to grow and to strengthen. And as it moved and grew and strengthened, it got deeper and deeper and stronger. But it was flexible. And the tree that's inside doesn't get to learn how to do that thing. And that's just like us in our lives. If we don't learn how to be flexible when one big thing happens, then we get knocked over. But if we learn how to be in the movement, in the flow of it all, we grow deeper and stronger roots. That's why wintertime is such a great time of year. I love winter. I mean, trees, not all the trees lose their leaves. I mean, evergreens don't have leaves, but the trees lose their leaves, and what they do is they go inward and they go deeper. And I think it's such a great metaphor for us as well. It's a time of year for us to go inward and deeper. And to know that the challenges and the strives and the chaos and the storms and the water and the water and the water and water. Anybody had any water recently? For those of you online, we've been experiencing some flooding. But those are the things that allow us to be connected to our source even more. When we have challenging and difficult things in our lives, it's an opportunity for us to go deeper. Have you been practicing your spiritual practice? Have you been doing your prayers? Have you been doing your affirmations? Have you been journaling? Have you been connecting to the source of your being? Have you practiced staying flexible? So the third thing is to tend your heart like a garden. Has anybody felt a betrayal before? Recently? Yeah. And what happens with our hearts is we close up. Literally, they've actually studied this. Like when you have the energy of betrayal, they have studied your energetic heart field and it collapses. And when that energetic heart field collapses, we're not able to receive very well. So how do I tend to my heart? How do I take care of it so that I can be open to receive in the future? What is that thing that nurtures your heart and your soul? What is that thing that allows your heart to be mended, a salve that goes on it? For each person, it may be different. For me, it's community, it's prayer, it's meditation, it's gardening. Those are all the things that allow my heart to heal. But if I'm not willing to actually practice that, I just stay in that state of being clenched and not open. And when my heart opens, I can receive the energetic of love, of peace, of harmony. But it's sometimes difficult to open our hearts after we've been betrayed. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to break my heart again. I lost somebody recently, not just recently, I think it was what? Tuesday, and I don't know if you two know or not, okay. So this Deb Peters is a friend of mine, and she was a woman that did all the food for my Gourmets for God events. You call it Gourmets for Good here in Center for Spiritual Living Seattle. We called it Gourmets for God. And she was a great chef, powerful, a magnificent chef. She wasn't professional or anything. She just loved to cook, and she's really good at it, really, really good at it. So every time when we were going to do our Gourmets for God events, I'd be like, hey, you want to cook for me? Because I do not have all of those skills and talents yet in the whole cooking realm, and she was naturally gifted at it. And this is one of the craziest things that's ever happened to me. So I really wanted to be there near the end of her life. I did get to visit her about a month ago, but I've been up here, and she lives down south. And her husband sent me a note, and like the whole team of people that are kind of praying Deb up, and said that she's going to be going soon. And so I went ahead and I called him. He didn't pick up, and I left a voicemail, a prayer of realization of knowing that she's leaving her body that no longer serves her and going into the bliss body. And while I know for her, it's amazing. I really have a deep and abiding knowing in my heart that after we leave physical bodies, that there is that we don't leave, that we're still eternally present, but it's in a much more freer, joyful way than the physical constraints are. However, for me and for Pete, I am sad and I'm grieving. Anyway, I guess Pete didn't, maybe he listened to the message or what, but he played the message for her. And after she heard my prayer, she breathed out, and that was it. I mean, I don't even, like, how do you even do words for that? I wasn't there, but I was there. And I'm so grateful that she gave me that honor. It means so much to me. And I know she's here. She's probably, you know, I call this the heavenly balcony, where all those who have transitioned, they're all right up here in the balcony, hanging out with all of us. So I'm sure she's here. And I just want to tell Deb I'm grateful. I'm grateful for her light. I'm grateful for her life. I'm grateful for the fact that she brought so much joy to me, and that her life isn't over, and it continues on, and I'm sad, and I'm honored. So in the midst of life, when we're trying to sell our house and move and figure out how to live in two spaces at once and all of that, there's life, and there's leaving the physical body. And it's all happening at the same time. And so some of the things that I do to hold my heart in a good spot is I do allow myself to grieve, to cry when it comes up. There's waves of grief that come up. And I also remember to love more deeply. To know that every person in the room is having something. That all of us are experiencing some kind of challenge. And some kind of joy. And if we can hold each other a little bit more deeply and be present for each other now, maybe we can be that salve, that lotion we put on our crackly hearts and our souls. So I want to ask you to do some spiritual practices this week. The first thing is notice your rigidities. Where do you feel like you only know one way or one thing? When do you feel defensive? When do you feel certain? When do you feel inflexible? Just notice it. Just notice. And know that that isn't a permanent thing. I think it was Bruce Lipton has done these studies, the neuroplasticity studies. Many, many amazing doctors and scientists have studied the brain. And the more we think something or we do something over and over again, there's actual grooves that go into our brain. And so we fall into grooves. And if we want to get out of those grooves, we've got to break those habits by doing something different. So you can notice, oh, there's a groove. I got a groove. This isn't the good groove. This is the difficult groove. This isn't like this kind of groove. This is like a groove. So when you notice it, just pay attention. Love yourself. The second thing is practice flexibility. Do one thing differently this week. Practice a new way to go to work. Brush your teeth with the other hand. Put your shoes on the opposite ways. Do you ever pay attention to which shoe goes on first every single day? Yeah. Just try and change it up a little, because that, again, that breaks up that pattern that you've created. And when we break up our patterns, we open ourselves up to newness, to creativity, to being. Respond with curiosity. Be flexible. Imagine you're like water. And the last thing is to tend to your heart. Choose one daily practice. Text somebody you love every day. Do a gratitude journal. Do something this week. Just one thing every day that allows your heart to be part of that loving connection in the universe. Ernest Holmes, the founder of our teaching, says there's a powerful good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it. And that power is love. And so if you're open to it, love yourself a little bit more deeply. Be a little bit kinder over these holidays, because some of us have lost some people. And recognize and know that your roots are growing, and that it may be a little bit tumultuous out there, but truly we are growing in strength and knowing that our one source, the infinite source, is here, present, guiding, directing, and allowing us to be the most magnificent selves we can be. And for that, I'm grateful. Let's pray. First off, to my ancestors, to those who've crossed over, and I want to invite you all to speak the names of your ancestors into the room out loud right here and right now. I speak the names of my dad, Edward Shire, and stepmom, Sandy Shire, my grandparents, Bill and Mary Donahoe, my great-grandparents. And I recognize and know that all of those ancestors that have passed over into the infinite, whether they are older or younger than me, are there on that other side. I ask for the infinite universe and all of the ancestors to stand by each and every one of us as we learn how to be more connected, that the love of the universe flows through us in a way that we can awaken to the highest and greatest truth of who we are and step into that during these times of darkness, during these times of deepening, broadening, reaching, allowing ourselves to be true to that infinite love that surrounds us, that infuses us, and that uplifts us. Knowing that this love transcends time and space, and it allows us to connect to all of humanity, all of the earth, all of the earth's creatures, everything that is conscious, the rocks, the birds, the trees. Consciousness is God in everything. And so I connect to that God, to that goddess, to that source, to that universal awareness, and I allow it to move through me, allow it to be a groove that is that fun, flowy groove, instead of that choppy, must-be groove. It releases me from what I used to be and allows me to have that new skin, to be a little vulnerable, and to be in a place where I can really live the authenticness of me. I recognize and know that each person here is a part of the unfolding of life in a way that fully supports life and love and a revelation of truth happening on this planet that only love can do. So I surrender into that and I allow it to guide me in my community, in my family, in my relationships, in my finances, in every aspect of my being. I allow it to uplift me and show me the gifts that are mine to express. For I know that this is a sacred time of year. This is a holy time of year. And in the holiness, I appreciate it. I love it. I connect with it. I surrender into it. And I allow it to renew me. Just like lotion on my skin. Feels good. For that, I'm grateful, and so it is.